Today, friends, we begin a new sermon series for term four, and it's going to be a topical series, and the topics are going to be set for us. The overall theme is the Lord's Prayer, and the topic for each week is going to be a different section of the Lord's Prayer. And so what we're going to do is not just learn about prayer, but learn about priorities and how God wants us to be. I'll try the radio mic, Joel. And so the idea is that by studying the Lord's Prayer as a church, our heart will reflect God's heart. And the first thing on God's heart today, the most fundamental thing there almost is the fatherhood of God. What does it mean for us to pray, "Our Father in heaven"? And I want to tell you, friends, this is a very important doctrine, one of the most important doctrines. This is the heart of Christian belief. If you watch Jesus and look in the passages of the Bible, the few times where Jesus prays, he always prays to God as Father. And then when Jesus is asked by his disciples, "Teach us how to pray," the first truth is you pray, "Our Father in heaven." So you're getting a sense this is important. And in fact, the entire New Testament, the way God is addressed in the New Testament is as Father. You see, friends, there are Christians today that try and sideline this doctrine and sort of say it's just optional. But I don't think that's right. I don't think we should set termites to the foundation of the house. You know, this is the way God has revealed himself in Scripture as Father. It is his own naming of himself to us. It's no accident, therefore, that in Christian history, 2,000 years, people have been saying that Apostles' Creed that we just said, and it starts with saying, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." And we alternate them in this church. So next week we do the Nicene Creed, which starts with by saying, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen." It's fundamental to Christian history, fundamental to Christian witness that God is Father. And funnily enough, though, this is an area of stark distinction between the New Testament and the Old Testament. Now, I know sometimes people make these false contrasts between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and most of them are wrong. Like, when people say the New Covenant God is more loving than the Old Covenant God, it's so wrong. Yet you haven't read the Bible if you think that. There's so many pictures of God's love in the Old Covenant, you know, as well as the New. So often there's consistency between the Old and New Testaments. But in this case, there's nowhere really in the Old Testament where God is addressed as Father. Often he's illustrated as a father. So in Psalm, I think it's 103, we learn, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him." There's things like that, but nowhere is God actually prayed to as Father until you get to Jesus and the New Testament. Now, let me share with you a wonderful quote from one of my favourite Christian books. I love it so much. I sell it on the church bookstall. It's by J.I. Packer. It's called Knowing God. It's one of the Christian classics of the spiritual life. And Packer says this. He says, "You can sum up the whole of the New Testament in a single phrase if you speak of it as a revelation of the fatherhood of the Holy Creator." Isn't that good? That's a summary of the New Testament. In the same way, Packer writes, "You sum up the whole of New Testament religion if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's holy Father." And then Packer, in this book, I do recommend it. It's a hard read, but it's worth reading. He gives a test. So here, I'll give you the test, and you can test your own heart. He says, "If you want to judge how well somebody understands Christianity, find out how much they make of the idea of being God's child and of having God as their father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls your worship and your prayers and your whole outlook on life, then it means that you do not understand Christianity very well at all. Do you see the test? He says, for everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, is everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to merely Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. And Packer concludes, quote, Father is the Christian name for God. It's powerful, isn't it? It's that important to us. So friends, I want you to reflect today on your own walk with God, your own prayers before God. What is your demeanor before God? Do you pray to God like you're an employee, begrudgingly doing your duty? Do you pray like you're merely a servant? Do you know God as Father? What does the intimacy of your prayers and the frequency of them tell me about your knowledge of the fatherhood of God? I'm so pleased, friends, to declare this morning that you are not God's employees, are you? You are not merely servants or slaves of God. You are not outside of the family, looking through the window of God's house, trying to get in. You are God's children, and He is your Father in heaven. Isn't that great? You may protest that you could say, well, I've done so many bad things. I've forfeited my right to call God Father. You know, you may feel the weight of shame or guilt and think, I've disappointed the Father. I can't call Him Father. And in a way, those feelings are right in a way. They're probably God-given convictions of your sin. And it does take a bold person to call God Father. But we will do it, friends, because this is what is given to us in the gospel. It's the idea of adoption. God has adopted us back into His family despite who we are, despite our failures, through Jesus who died for us. By faith in Christ, you are adopted as a child of God again. So here's a great verse. There are many of these. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, of sonship. And by Him, by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. You have the Holy Spirit, friends, and that Holy Spirit is your seal of adoption. We could summarize it by saying, the arrival of God the Son into our world has opened access to God the Father through the adoption that is sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Let me just try that on you again. The arrival of God the Son and His rescue has opened access to God the Father, and that is through the adoption which is sealed by God the Holy Spirit. His true Son, I guess there is a sense in which we're not true children, but God's true Son has shed His blood to make us fully adopted as eternal sons and daughters forever. You are not a spiritual orphan. You can pray, God as God my Father, God our Father. May that change, friends, how you pray this week. May that change your demeanor before the Lord. May that change your intimacy of your prayers and the frequency of them. May it draw you in to God in prayer, God our Father. And what kind of Father is God? Well, I'll just share a couple of truths. One truth, key truth from the Bible reading today from Luke chapter 12 is this sense that God the Father is a great provider. And good fathers provide. And so there's a famous picture of considering the lilies and how King Solomon was never dressed as beautifully as a lily. And yet, you know, you can look behind me today at the garden and God has decked it out gloriously. And yet, in a way, you know, next week it'll be different and flowers come and go and things bloom and blossom and then disappear. You know, how much more, says Jesus, will God clothe you? How much more will the Father take care of you? He says, O you of little faith, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. The idea is that the Father knows your very needs and he provides for them. The principle's really clear. You know, we can trust God to know and provide. In fact, I think part of the act of faith here is trusting that God knows you better than you know you. He knows your needs better than you know your needs. And so that's encouraging to walk with him, trusting his provision. That's the doctrine here. That's the truth. But Jesus also has a number of commands here that effectively amount to one command. Let me share the commands and see if you can put them together with me. He says things like, do not worry. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not run after clothes and food the way pagans do. Do not live as if God were not your Father or did not know. Seek the kingdom and trust that God will give you whatever you need. All those are basically one command. It's basically saying, fix your heart on God the Father. Don't fix your heart on what you will eat or drink or, you know, because then you'll start worrying about those things. It's like your heart is this strong muscle. It's this worshipping machine. It's like a magnet that has to latch onto something and latch it onto the fatherhood of God. Latch it onto the fatherhood of God. Choose to not worry habitually about your problems. Choose to habitually ponder that God, your Father, knows you and will provide for you and that you belong to him. You know, latch your heart onto the fatherhood of God. And then, although Jesus, he's pretty kind of a little bit irritable here, you know, oh, you of little faith, don't be like the pagans. There's sort of a bit of a slap here, a bit of a rebuke. But then Jesus starts talking about the fatherhood of God and turns very tender. Verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do you see the sweetness of having God as Father? We are his little flock. Friends, the fatherhood of God is there to fill your heart. Make sure you spend time pondering that you're not an employee. You're a son and a daughter of the maker of the universe. Through Christ, God is your Father. If the Father cares for his creation, how much more does he care for you, for whom he sent his Son to die? Friends, be strong, be courageous, because God is your Father. You know, it's actually quite revealing the things you fear. Listen to your fears and let the fatherhood of God kind of replace them, if that makes sense. You know, every time you sense you fear something, it's a chance to let go of being fixed. Your heart is attached to something in the place of God. Just walk with him hand in hand. So God is a provider. Let me share one other aspect of God's fatherhood. And I think it's often forgotten, though it's one of my favorite aspects of God's fatherhood. He's a father who, according to scripture, lovingly disciplines. And in the scriptures, there's a number of places we could go. I'll read to you from Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. The Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. And very revealingly, there's a sermon on those verses in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, and it applies it directly to the suffering of Christians and the fatherhood of God. And really, the lesson is, God, our Heavenly Father, loves us too much to let us simply walk into sin and walk into things that will hurt and destroy ourselves or other people we love. He will not just let us, you know, you would not let your child touch sort of the oven when it's hot, that kind of thing. God lovingly disciplines us. And he does it through hardship, pain, suffering in our lives. You know, God rebukes us for our foolish choices and any attitudes that do not honour him. God doesn't spoil us in the way that a parent would keep giving a child things and they just become a really selfish, yucky, kind of ugly child. Now, there's a bit of a mystery here because we don't always or often or most of the time for me, I don't know how God is disciplining me exactly. Like, I know my pain. I don't know exactly what it relates to, so I simply try and be holy and trust him more, and I let his pain draw me closer to him. I let the suffering draw me closer to God's fatherhood. Looking back, though, I think there must have been countless times, like, I don't know, I could just imagine myself just throwing my whole life away if God had not disciplined me. I could just imagine throwing my marriage and my life and my family, you know what I mean? I know that when I have smooth sailing and life's too easy, I do get proud and I do get independent and I forget God. And so, friends, can you at least agree with me in the theory that it's good for God to discipline us, to keep us close to him, even when it hurts? For Hebrews 12, for Proverbs 3, this is our privilege as God's children to be disciplined. Don't be resentful about it. Don't kind of, you know, grumble at God. Trust him. You see, for the non-Christian, this may not be true. For the unbeliever who is not God's adopted child, there's no guarantee that their pain is going to produce something good. It may happen, and they may be somehow blessed and helped through pain, but it may just be part of the cruelty of sin in a sinful, broken world. But for us, adopted in Christ, all our pain, all of it is loving discipline for our good, and none of it will be wasted. You can see why God's fatherhood is so key, because only in fatherhood can you link the concepts of authority and love so closely. You know, fathers have that peculiar thing where you can cuddle your father and you can hang onto their leg and you can wrestle them and have a laugh and jump all over them. But at the same time, fathers are there to be obeyed and to be feared and to be honoured. And I think that's right, that they go together. I was reading this book. It's not on the bookstore. It's a very good book. It's called The Christian Mind by a writer called Harry Blamires. And he wrote this in 1963. But he saw what was coming. He kind of describes our world today. He saw it coming. He says, as a result of historical developments, the idea of authority has been totally severed from the idea of love. He says, now there is an iron curtain, a wall between authority and love in the way people think. You know, he said, now they belong to two different modes of thinking. And you see this today when people say, you know, unless you agree with me, you do not love me. Do you know what I mean? Or, you know, if you're someone's boss, you can't be their friend. You know, they're totally separate. But Harry Blamires writes, it was not always like this. There was a time when these two key concepts were blended together in the embracing idea of fatherhood, which has provided the richest summary of God's significance for us. In the fatherhood of God, love and authority are intertwined in both his provision and in his discipline, which are both acts of love. One more thing to say about the Father, and then I've actually got a video I want us to watch this morning, a very short but really great video. What does it mean to say our Father is in heaven? Have you thought about this? It doesn't mean deism. It doesn't mean God is distant and disengaged. I think what it's actually invoking in the scriptural picture of heaven and earth and of God separate from his creation is that God is engaged with all of creation from a position of power and security and strength from heaven. That is the best place for God to be to care for us. His perspective is outside of us, knowing all, seeing all. It's a great comfort if you think about it. We have very little perspective. We see very little, you know, of what's really happening in the creation, in God's world, in the kingdom. And yet, you know, as the psalmist writes, Psalm 115, our God is in heaven, he does whatever pleases him. God is not affected by the things that toss us around. When your world is falling apart, where do you look? You look to heaven. Remember, your Father is in heaven and you are his little child. Or as Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's funny, isn't it? Because we sort of get a bit drunk sometimes on our own self-importance. And, you know, I'm a wise person. I've lived a while and I've been married a while and I think I know a bit more than other people, and I'm just a little child. You are just a little child. You may be an important person in your workplace. You may have letters after your name, but you are just a little child in the Father's hands, and he sees everything and you see very little, but he's good and you can trust him. Our vision is constrained. We look through the narrow lens of this world, but God is in heaven and he sees all, and he sees the past, the present, the future. Our Father in heaven has his good purposes planned out for you. And I think one day we'll see the purposes in the pains and in the disciplines, but it won't be in this life. It'll be when we go to be with him and see him and be like him. So friends, this is the fatherhood of God. The provider, the one who lovingly disciplines, the one who is in heaven is our security. The measure of a Christian is in how much they value this doctrine. The measure of a church is in how much the fatherhood of God in Christ is embraced. To be a Christian, you see, is to let the Bible determine your reality. And what does the Bible say? Reality is the fatherhood of God. To all who accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord, the Spirit we have received is the Spirit of adoption. So friends, let me encourage you, let me entice you into the Father's presence this morning and in your week coming. Will you walk this week in intimate obedience to God your Father? Will you pray in Jesus' name confidently as an adopted child? Will you walk in assurance that you're a family member? Will you trust in your Heavenly Father's daily provision? Will you trust in your Heavenly Father's daily discipline? Will you take refuge that he's in heaven? Will you call God Father this week, our Father in heaven? Now the video we're about to watch has an introduction, but if you can't read the text, it's from a ministry in Canada that cares for women but that are basically homeless or have been abused or violently hurt in some way. And a number of churches are involved in this ministry in this city in Canada. It's run by the Salvation Army, but a number of other Christian churches. And what they have done is they've got the people involved in this ministry to share what the Bible says about the fatherhood of God, to encourage the women that they're ministering to. So please watch it and let it speak to you.